Stay in the game at sports.kbec.com. Complete coverage of Ellis County sports from Classic Texas.
KBEC.
Sports.kbec.com presents The Press Box. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpet in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpet. The Press Box is your source for Ellis County High School sports. Give us a call at 972-923-1390, option 1. And now, here's tonight's show.
And as the great voice of Waxahachie, Ken Roberts, said, and here is tonight's show. Chad Hicks, Adam Olson with the Press Box under the exquisite production, Mr. Yo-Yo Dave Van Zandt. Gentlemen, how are y'all this evening?
Fantastic.
I'm doing very well, thank you.
There you go. Did y'all enjoy our 72 hours of spring?
Yeah, I did very much. And a little bit of a taste of summer, too.
I mean, well, summer's already here. It was like 80. I was sweating like crazy today.
90 degrees.
And I was inside.
Define spring. What does spring mean to you guys? What is that?
It means
blue bonnets.
Appropriate temperature.
Define appropriate.
72.
Only
70 to 72.
No, okay. Two degree range.
70 to 72.
Okay.
And light wind. I don't like a lot of wind.
Okay. Yeah.
3 to 5 miles an hour.
I'll tell you what. Saturday night, I don't know if y'all were out and about or whatever, mm-hmm. but if you were outside, it was perfect Saturday mm-hmm. night. That
oh,
was a
was,
nice
yeah.
night. My wife and I were part of a group of people that hosted a bridal shower.
Beautiful. Mm.
And we got done. We were downtown, you know, just off the square downtown Waxahachie, and it was all done. We were sitting outside, you know, just gathering up all of our stuff that, you know, because when you have a bridal shower, you got to take a bunch of stuff,
mm-hmm.
which then means you got to bring a whole lot more stuff even home because you got leftovers and all of that stuff, mm-hmm. what you don't call it. Anyway, but man, it was really nice out. So that was our spring. And then here it is Monday, and it was hotter than fish grease outside. And, you know.
So Saturday night we had the annual Smith, that is my wife's maiden name, the annual Smith family Easter egg hunt.
Okay, and annual.
Yes, right. Yes, sir. And this is a nocturnal event.
Nighttime.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So we're using those UV flashlights or whatever, mm. and then the eggs will glow.
Did you do like the remember the year the Avenue Church, they rolled out there with a helicopter and dumped 100,000 eggs out of a helicopter?
They're doing it again.
Oh, are they really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I told one of my Avenue parishioner buddies. You know, I personally go to the Methodist church, and I was like, yeah, well, we bought us a secondhand space shuttle. We're going to one up them, roll that baby over and let the bay doors open and drop out 100,001 Easter eggs or something.
There you
go. I don't know. You know, the battle of the churches over here. But I did get caught in that traffic jam one year when they were doing that, and it is phenomenal. And kids mm-hmm. love a good Easter egg hunt.
Sure,
you know?
Do.
Anyway, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, it's all good. So we had this, and this. So the parties that partake in this are so myself, my wife, our two children who are 8 and 6, and then my brother-in-law, my sister-in-law, and their spouses, and another brother-in-law. And we go to my father and mother-in-law's house, and this is a good half hour to 45 minutes, like, just torrid egg hunting, and my children are running around.
So who hides said Easter egg? Would that be the Easter bunny?
My mother-in-law, a.k.a. yeah, Susan Smith, the Easter bunny, and she gets it done. She's got a lot of experience.
I got you.
Yes,
okay.
Sir. Yes, sir.
So some, I assume, are like just gimmies and easy to find, but then she'll bury some deep in the old hollered stump.
Oh, yeah.
Old hollow stump, whatever it's called.
And this is an adult Easter egg hunt, so you're going to get candy, but then you're going to get like prizes.
Oh, really?
And yeah.
Cash, like, prizes, possibly?
See? Yes. Or like items that adults really appreciate. So, gift cards.
Yo, did our show just kind of go X-rated there all of a sudden?
You know, I was looking for the dump button.
I appreciate you doing that.
Is that like a shot of tequila?
What are we looking for there?
So you have gift cards to like movie theaters.
Oh, okay. I got you.
Yeah, right. You'll have like, or you just have straight up money sometimes too. When you go there, like you want to compete.
Oh, yeah.
But then there's some good prizes there. Like, my in-laws, they do it right. I enjoy going every year.
Really?
Yeah. And
so how do you fit a 70-inch TV in an Easter?
So usually it's like, so what happens is they have the eggs, the prize eggs are numbered. And then once everyone kind of comes back in and they go through their stuff, you say, okay, who had number one? I got number one. Okay. And then my mother-in-law will bring out said number one prize.
Oh, so it's almost got a little bit of white elephant to it.
Yes, sir. Hey, who had egg number two, and so on and so forth. And yeah, it's a great tradition that I'm glad to be a part of. I married into a couple.
Yeah, very creative family, right?
Yes, sir.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That is awesome.
Great weather, though. That's how we got on the topic. Great weather.
It was great weather this past weekend for sure.
It was great weather to sit inside and watch basketball, too.
Yeah. Unfortunately, on Saturday, I had a little altercation at a local, semi-local car wash.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, a gentleman decided to put his vehicle in reverse while in said car wash right at the very beginning and backed into my vehicle.
Oh, no.
And then proceeds to think that he is totally free of all liability because it's on private property. If anybody knows about the law, please call in 972-923-1390 and explain that logic to
you. We got a really great lawyer that has an office
right here in the world headquarters of KBEC Radio.
Ron Johnson is available for you.
Yeah, there you go, of the world broadcast headquarters. Anyway, so...
can we paint a picture for the audience as exactly how this went down? So Chad showed me the video.
Yeah. So it's all caught on video. Plus, I have eyewitnesses.
Even better.
Yeah.
So it's an automatic car wash. So you pull your vehicle up, and then it's on the track. And then the gentleman who's at the beginning of it tells you to put your vehicle in neutral, and then it's on the track. So you just go through. You don't need to hit the gas.
You don't need to steer. You don't need.
It just takes you through. This Yahoo puts it in dang reverse and gotcha, man. Exactly. Put the okie doke on you, man.
Yeah. Fortunately for me, it wasn't a lot of damage. But, you know, in this day and age, cars have all these sensors and all this stuff. And when it hits the front bumper, things can really go crazy. I'm just very thankful it didn't deploy the airbags. Because what I've learned recently when my daughter had an accident was if the airbags are deployed way more times than not, like 99% of the time, they will total the vehicle.
Right.
And so thankfully that didn't happen. But so we got a bunch of fun ahead of us probably getting our car fixed and all of that because of one person who seemed to think that I guess he was above the law. I don't know. But anyway.
Did he ever give a reason as to why he put the truck in reverse?
He claimed he didn't know what happened. I don't know what happened.
Holy moly.
Well, I know this. I watched your reverse lights come on, and I watched you back right into our vehicle.
That's crazy.
And I've got video now to prove that. So anyway. And then he wouldn't give me his information, his driver, you know, picture of his driver's license or his insurance or any of that. So I went to the police department. They're in a neighboring community. I'll leave it at that.
Nearby,
westwardly. Anyway, and thinking, okay, I'll get them to help me. And boy, howdy, could it not have been anything more opposite? They, you know, they felt like they were about to have to do a ton of paperwork for a small claim. But it, to me, at that point, it was more about the principal. You know, the guy's flippant attitude was just really, really, really frustrating.
Give me the paperwork. Know? I'll fill it out for you.
We're exactly. 11 and a half minutes into the show, and we already have our first usage of a high-level vocab word.
Oh, flippant?
Flippant. Love it. Yeah, keep going.
Is it flippant or flippant?
Flippant.
Yeah, that's what I said.
I love it. Chad, get him, Chad.
There you go. You know, the things that you can teach you.
Well, I just say that dude putting his truck into reverse is reprehensible.
Yeah. Ooh. And reversible.
Another one. And, it's right now it's irreversible.
And the damage is now irreversible.
No.
Yes,
right.
Holy moly.
Oh, my God.
So we had, so going back to Friday, had a couple of good women's basketball games that went down. And then on Saturday, well, at least we had one buzzer beater.
Unbelievable
game. That was good for them.
Wow.
And so, which then put, from the women's semifinal, put the LSU Lady Tigers matched up against the Iowa Lady Hawkeyes in the final, which went down yesterday. Tonight, just past our show here at the World Broadcast Headquarters, KBEC, the press box, as we call it, will be the men's final. But going back to that women's final, those mighty LSU Lady Tigers, they came to play, I believe.
Yeah.
You know?
Were they raining threes or what? I mean, it was coming down from everywhere.
It was everything, yo-yo.
It was a clinic, yeah. They really did. And I think, in my opinion, what they did the best, and this sounds kind of crazy, but when I throw out some stats, but the biggest name in women's basketball right now is the Clark girl.
Caitlin Clark.
Iowa. And it felt like they just shut her down, but she had 17 or 18 points in the first half, you know.
Yes.
But, I mean, she just has this ability, but they really disrupted that whole Iowa scheme that Iowa had gotten to that point with. And so, man, that was a juggernaut that was difficult to stop, for sure.
Yeah,
impossible to stop.
When you watch a game like that, it's a good contrast to styles, right? And you love to see that kind of thing because styles make fights. That's obviously, you know, they weren't fighting, but it's a competition. And when two different teams play two different styles of anything, you love to see that kind of thing. Doesn't matter what the sport is, right? So, The difference that I saw was Iowa got into foul trouble early, and it was their best players. So Clark, along with one of their wings and one of their posts, I can't remember those young ladies' names right now, but they all got into relatively bad foul trouble early. They all had three fouls in the first half.
Right.
And so that's going to change how you do things. Iowa's half-court sets were – if you watch Steph Curry play – it's very similar how they use – how Steph Curry plays for the Warriors is how – I mean, Caitlin Clark, that girl is like 5, 6, 7 feet behind the three-point line, and she's just chunking them up, and it's like –
8 or 10 feet at times.
Unreal,
I mean,
man.
Unreal distance.
Yeah, and she had 30 points in the national championship game, but it didn't matter because they still lost.
They still lost by 17.
102-85, you know? Like
– exactly.
It's just – and then, you know, LSU – Their whole deal was they played that mid-range pick and roll. It was lethal, and Iowa kept going under the screen instead of over the top, and that two guard was just killing them on the pick and pop. I mean, hitting those 15 to 18 footers, and it was nuts. And Iowa refused to go over the screen. They kept going underneath.
Yeah,
and it's like, okay, if you do that, you're gambling, and you're saying, okay, we're going to force you to make those J's. Well, so they kept doing it, and there was no adjustment.
But if they had went over the top, then they're going to drive to the basket, right? And then and just come away with the two-pointer instead of the three-pointer. So
it is just
danged if they do and danged if they don't.
That's right.
And then the offensive rebounding by LSU was insane.
Yeah.
I mean, they were those second-chance points. And Angel Reese, who was named the NCAA Women's Tournament MVP, was incredible. I mean, that's a grown woman out there. And she's, like, I think they're four, so they're power forward. But she moves extremely well.
Extremely well.
And So, I mean, do we, I think the thing that we got to look at is this. Okay, so Caitlin Clark, who we talked about earlier.
Biggest name in women's basketball at the moment, by the way.
Yes. She did something in the Elite Eight where she did the John Cena waving the hand in front of the face, right? Yeah, which basically means you can't see me, right? Mm-hmm. And so when that was done, okay, some people felt some type of way about that. Some people were like, oh, man, we love that. That's competitive and this, that, and she can do it. And when Caitlin Clark did it, she wasn't really doing it to any one person in particular.
Right.
She was mainly just doing it to Louisville as a whole, right? And I mean, she got hers just like she did the entire tournament. Didn't matter, right? Well, Angel Reese, who we talked about earlier, took umbrage to that and I think used that as a catalyst for her competitive nature. And at the end of the national championship game, Angel Reese was going to Caitlin Clark, doing the same "you can't see me" hand wave, and then in addition, she was pointing to her ring finger, and saying, "Hey, we're the champs," you know. And she Angel Reese did that for a while, so I knew as soon as I saw that, I knew social media was gonna blow up.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Boy, guys, if you go on Twitter right now and you'll still see, I mean, it was all ESPN. Like, that was the headlines for that were just as much as for the actual game. Like, it was a story within a story that became its own separate story.
Yeah, right.
So what I want to ask you guys is this. Okay, there's a side of this that says what Angel Reese did is classless or lacks class, right? And then there's the other side that goes, well, Caitlin Clark did the same thing.
Right.
So she, if she's going to dish it out, she better be able to take it. Mm-hmm. So what I'm asking you guys is really a two-part question. Okay, one, are either of those acts acceptable in your minds? Okay, and then two, all right, define class. What does that even mean? Okay, is that an overused, cliched term? Or is there merit behind it? And where do you guys stand on that?
Well, so for me personally, I think what comes up before the word class is lack of class, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So when somebody is classy, it kind of gets overshadowed or whatever. But man, if they are classless, it doesn't. It comes to the forefront really, really quick.
Mm-hmm.
And before I forget to throw this out, let me just touch on one other thing too. What I was kind of amazed with that I don't recall happening in past tournaments or championship games or whatever was all the little minor storylines from this. So one, you have this very topic that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
For two, you have this I don't know if you call Caitlin a Cinderella story or a sleeper or whatever, but she's virtually an unknown until we get to the tournament where she truly turns it on,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And from an NIL standpoint, she's got to be the biggest name in basketball at the moment that I know of.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I listened to a story last night as I drove home on a competing radio station, Yo-Yo. It was ESPN.
Holy moly.
Yeah, the competing radio station. But they were talking about how she will forego heading out to the WNBA because she can make more NIL money next year as a senior at Iowa, still trying to pursue a national championship than she would if she were playing in the WNBA, which, of course, they don't have the contracts like the NBA does.
Right. That's a really good point, though.
But then you also have the storyline of Kim Mulkey's outfits and these flamboyant
easy.
Oh man, they're crazy, and I don't really get it. But anyway,
so thumbs up or thumbs down on those?
You know, yesterday's I thought was better than the pink with the flowers and all that. But let's just play some basketball, man. Why do we got to do that? You know,
what did you think, Yo-Yo? Did you see Kim Mulkey's outfits?
I saw the one from last night, and I was like, okay, well, LSU Tigers, Tiger Stripes,
the cold, the chrome gold with Tiger Stripe.
Boy,
Tiger
Hey,
bling, bling.
As long as I didn't have to stare directly into it, I was okay.
Yeah, exactly. And then you got the game in and of itself. So there's a bunch of storylines there. Okay, I think we need to go to a break. Why don't we do that? And when we come back, we'll pick back up on this and we'll go.
All right, sir.
All right. See you in a bit.
Let's do that. First of all, let's talk about Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. They're right here in Waxahachie. They provide the superior HVAC expertise you demand for the highest quality results for your AC repair and heating needs. So call today because you know you're going to be using both your air conditioning and your heating. I mean, just this week, the weather air conditioning today, heater tomorrow. Anyway, call Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning at 972-834-2568. 972-834-2568. Learn more about all of their HVAC contractor services. That's Wayne Price Heating and Air Conditioning. We'll be right back with more right after these important messages on KBEC.
Some people are just obsessed with their lawns. They'd cut their grass with a pair of scissors if they could. Thanks to Gravely, they don't have to. You see, Gravely makes not only the best built and most comfortable lawnmowers, but they also leave your house looking like a doggone country club. So whether you're a commercial landscaper wanting the best or just a perfectionist homeowner, you can't do better than a Gravely.
Mower Depot, 1510 West Business 287 in Waxahachie, just across from Jerry's and down from Compton's, with spring deals on Arians and Gravely and the 2022 model closeouts. Serving Ellis County for 22 years with a full line of steel products. It's Mower Depot.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
Greece is cheap.
But the airfare costs a fortune.
Paris?
Not much closer. And again, airfare.
What about Puerto Vallarta?
Let's face it, flying anywhere is just too expensive.
Wait, what's this? Low-cost airlines.
With one call to low-cost airlines, you'll drastically slash your travel costs. We're talking insanely low airline prices to any of your favorite destinations. Where would you like to go? London, Rome, Costa Rica, Australia?
Wow, that's cheap.
So why wait? Call now to learn how crazy cheap it is to fly anywhere in the U.S. or international. Our prices are so low, we can't publish them. The only way to get them is to call to instantly hear the most amazing best deals on airline travel. It's that easy. So call now and start packing.
800-430-7923. 800-430-7923. 800-430-7923. That's 800-430-7923.
With over 60 years combined millwork and building material experience, be sure and check out Ennis Door and Trim. They've been open since 2004, and they serve the area with specific building needs, like pre-hung door units, hardware of all kinds, vinyl, aluminum, and wood windows. Ennis Door and Trim does custom exterior door units, multi-family and commercial needs, and millwork needs. Depend on Ennis Door and Trim for door and bath hardware, windows, stair parts, moldings, and much more. Call 972-875-7800 or stop by their location at 2607 South Kaufman Street in Ennis. That's Ennis Door and Trim.
Classic Texas, KBEC.
And now, back to the Press Box on KBEC.
See, I told you we'd be back. Chad Hicks, Adam Olson, under the exquisite production of Mr. Yo-Yo Dave here on the Press Box, broadcasting live this Monday evening, 6:25 p.m. from the World Broadcast Headquarters of KBEC Radio. And so what we were talking about is the, obviously the main story is we have a women's national championship going on.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't just play basketball, Adam. We got to do all this. We got to wear crazy outfits.
It's a spectacle.
It's a spectacle.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
We have to, we got to showboat when we score. We got to insult or what do you call that? Taunt. I don't know if it's the right word.
Well, it depends on who you are, because to some people that's part of the game.
That's part of the game.
And
well,
to other people it's taunting.
So here's my stance, right? This and $3.50 will almost get you a cup of coffee at a Northwest United States-based coffee place.
Oh,
local.
I don't know. A thimble.
All right, so here's the deal.
Okay.
Anybody that doesn't understand that sports is entertainment these days, you know, there was a time when sports was sports, right, Yo-Yo?
Yeah, that's right. Sports was sports.
Sports was just sports.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's all about the entertainment value of it beyond the game in and of itself. This drives me nuts. Like, I always loved it back as a kid. Man, when Billy White Shoes Johnson, who I believe was the forefather of the end zone dance, or,
yes,
you know, the end zone celebration.
Oh, yes.
I love
that.
For the great Houston Oilers.
When Dan Pastorini would throw him a ball.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Bum Phillips and Earl Campbell. You know, Earl would score in spectacular fashion and get up and just hand the ball to the referee.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
And like he always said, he goes, "I didn't celebrate. I was too tired to celebrate."
Yes, exactly.
But,
right.
But my point is, nowadays, these NFL teams, you know, a player will score, and then all these other players join in with him, and they do some choreographed.
That's a great word.
Yeah. I like it.
Dictionary.com, look it up.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. There you go. And but, you know, they got to do this routine that they obviously have practiced.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, so if I'm a true fan of a team, which there's a few teams out there that I'm a true fan of, and we lose the game, but boy, our choreography was on point. You know, doesn't that kind of cheapen the whole thing?
Don't you get extra points for that?
I don't think you do yet, Yo-Yo, but I'm sure it's coming.
In the XFL?
Maybe. I'm sure it's coming. In the XFL, you might.
Okay.
You know, I don't know. It just really cheapens it to me.
To me,
it's about the touchdown, not the touchdown dance.
I'm with you. And there's two that would go along with this.
Notice that Yo-Yo's taking notes and writing down a list.
Well, I'm thinking the Bautista bat flip against the Texas Rangers.
Oh, yeah. Well, he paid for that.
That one. And then the thing I hate the most in the NFL right now is when they get an interception and the entire defensive team runs down to the other end zone.
Right, it might be 90 yards away, but we're all going down there.
Hey, we're all going down there. We're going to talk trash to the – I hate that. And I'm like Earl Campbell. You know, my coach, when I was growing up back in the day, he just would say, hand the ball to the referee, act like you've been there, and you expect to be there again.
That's right.
So
exactly.
That's the way I think it should be. Now, do I like a little bit of trash talk between players? Yeah, but let them do that on the field.
Exactly.
And I don't need to hear about it.
Yeah.
So
no,
we spend so much time. We spend so much time talking about backstories and things like that. Now, I mean, how long is the pregame for the NCAA final tonight? It's like 2.5-3 hours long.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And
well, there's so many news. Yeah. Well, there's so many news outlets now. They have to do that to just try to stay ahead of their competition.
Yeah. Chad, you said at the very beginning, though, I think that needs to resonate with everyone. You don't have to agree with it, but you have to understand.
You mean I said something profound?
It was profound because it's true, but not everyone likes it, and therefore they don't want it to be true. Sports is now more so than ever
entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Business.
And
the B word, man, business. I hate to say it like that, but
well,
here's
money.
The deal.
Yeah.
When you rely on your main revenue stream to be from advertisements and television contracts, then guess what?
That's where you
are. You have said you will pay me X amount of dollars for Y amount of advertisements and viewership time and sponsorships and all of those things, and therefore that's what it is. And so somewhere in the midst of that spectacle, which is what we talked about earlier, somewhere in the midst of that event is an actual game being played with actual players and actual plays.
Yeah. Well, back in the day, too. I mean, why did we always watch the Celtics and the Lakers? Well, first of all, because they always made it there.
Yeah, they were the two best.
But you know, Parrish and those guys.
Larry Bird.
But I read the other day that Larry Bird in one game against a rookie who had said that he could guard Larry Bird. Larry Bird would dribble the ball up to him and say, okay, I'm going to go to the right,
right,
and I'm going to put it in the basket. And he'd go to the right and put it in the basket. And then he would come down the next time and say, I'm going to go to the left. I'm going to do a drop back. Lay it, you know.
He'd call his shot.
He would every time. He did it every time. And this rookie who said he could guard Larry Bird had no clue, couldn't do it.
Even though he knew what was about to happen.
I never heard about that until last week. I mean, that happened in the 80s. So.
Oh, if you go to YouTube and you type up Larry Bird trash talk,
oh, gosh,
there will be so many videos. I mean, you couldn't watch them all in a week's time, you know. He was a king of it, but you didn't hear about that off the, like you say, you know, aside. And you just hear about it now from a bunch of old-timers sitting around reminiscing or whatever.
Everybody knew what was going on, but we didn't know the specifics of it.
That's exactly right.
You guys.
But it's just so frustrating that that's where our sports are. I mean, never once in my life did I view – I'm not saying they're not athletes. They absolutely are athletes. I just never – considered professional wrestling sport, right? I mean, it's just a it's no different than going to a play or whatever, right? There's a script, they follow the script, they do the stunts, whatever. But where it's starting to give me a little heartburn is that our true professional sports are getting closer and closer and closer to the professional wrestling.
Amen. Preach it, brother.
Other way of the world, you know.
Preach it, brother.
So, anyhow. And then now, you know, that statement about professional sports, but we're talking ultimately, or this conversation started about collegiate sports, mm-hmm. and so it's even coming into that, you know. We got to sell tickets, we got to sell ratings, we got to, you know, the easiest way to get to the tournament next year is to have a good showing this year and make people want to follow you.
Right.
You know?
Well,
so
if it
next year, the selection committee will grab you to make it all look good.
If it starts in professional sports, it's going to get down into college, it's going to even get down into high school sports.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, I don't want to – I like listening and producing the Waxahachie baseball games. It's great fun, but there's a lot of stuff that goes on the field that you're like, brother, I don't know if I'd say that.
Yeah, so, no, for sure.
And speaking of that, the Waxahachie High School Indians are having a season.
They are. They're playing pretty well, even with their dill pickle uniforms and you know, the solid green, but I think the kids apparently like them a lot, so good for them, you know. Yeah. They're solid green with white pinstripe uniforms, but they got a nice little season ahead of them, behind them. They got a bright future ahead of them. I think tomorrow night they're going to line up against Legacy, I believe.
Right, maybe. Who is predicted right now, they're in the number one spot in the district.
Okay.
And I believe that they're predicted to either come in first or second.
Okay.
So
this is a key little matchup for us.
We got 3 weeks of Mansfield schools back to back.
Yeah, so. Well, thankfully we only play, three of them or something like that. So there you go. So, Yo-Yo, being the exquisite producer of said Ken Robertson, the old left-hander Mike Turner's live broadcast of Waxahachie baseball, what is the schedule for this week? So they're going to play tomorrow night, Tuesday, but Friday, I believe, is a national holiday, federal holiday. So they're out of school. Do they play on Friday, or when will they play?
No, they're going to play tomorrow night, of course, at 7 o'clock first pitch, 6:50 pregame.
You can tune in if you're not at the at Paul Richards Park,
that's
PRP.
Right.
You can tune in right here to the KBEC 1390.
It's going to be Teacher Appreciation Day.
Oh, wow. How about that?
And
let's appreciate all those teachers.
I've got to go by there before I come here because Oma's Burgers is going to be out there, too. So big doings out at Paul Richards Park. So that's Tuesday night. Then you're right about Good Friday coming this Friday. So they're scheduled to play on Thursday.
Okay. But isn't there weather?
There was, but the National Weather Service, in their eminent wisdom, has pushed the rain chances down for Thursday, and they've moved them over to Friday. So
was that the National Weather Service, or was that the ghost of Paul Richards that changed the weather?
Okay. Yeah. I'll take either one of
it's
those
called
answers.
Speaking it into existence. We're manifesting the correct weather for the correct day.
As of right now, and we won't know anything different until they call and tell us. But as of right now, we're playing at 7 o'clock first pitch on Tuesday, 7 o'clock first pitch on Thursday this week. So,
all right. Well, there you have it, folks. So tune in or show up, root the mighty little Indians along, and support I guess the RBI Club or something. Who's doing the deal with Omen's Burgers?
I don't know the particulars of that. I just know that it's Teacher Appreciation Day. So apparently the senior players are recognizing their favorite teacher.
Yeah, exactly.
So that's coming up. And then the Omen's Burgers is going to be out there at the concession stand. So I'm a big fan.
I'm a big fan as well. I haven't had one since last week, but let the record show I wasn't in town since most of last week.
I got to give a shout out to Coach Tolleson over at Waxahachie.
Shane Tolleson, head football coach of the Waxahachie Indians.
That gentleman, if you follow that guy on social media, he is at Waxahachie everything.
Oh yeah, he's
that man. And so like, okay, so here's the conversation that we were just having. All right, I mean, if you're going to, you can either not be happy with the way things are evolving in terms of like social media, branding, presentation, representation, all those things.
Right.
Or
personal
you can evolve and work with it. Coach Tolleson is a really good example of someone who has embraced social media and seen it as this is the power of it.
Yeah.
This is a positive way for me to promote our community, our school district, our athletic programs, and you know, specifically football. But I mean, he's on there getting pictures with players who are excelling in academics, players who are baseball players, and obviously track. And then those kids may or may not also be playing football. It's really good. But that, like, for all of you aspiring head coaches out there, or even if you are an assistant who that's your role, using social media in a positive way like that to promote everything about your program, it costs you nothing except your time, which is valuable.
Right.
But if you're smart about it,
that's a function of how type you can or how fast you can type.
That's right. Or how type you can fast.
Yeah,
if you're that speedy, you flip them.
The proverbial turn off the lights and you're in bed before it gets dark.
Hicks is crushing it on the vocab and the sentence structure tonight.
Sure enough. Well, that's once in a row. So
that's right. Hey, every long journey starts with the first step.
We got about a minute.
We got about a minute before we go to break. Do we really? All right, cool.
Whole minute.
Okay, so we'll pick back up on this at the end of the show. But tonight at some 7:30-ish or something like that, shortly after the press box, we got the men's national championship about to go down.
And that's UConn and FSU, right?
No, San Diego State.
Oh, San Diego State.
Aztecs. San Diego State versus the UConn Huskies.
We're down to dogs and Indians.
So how many of you, I know I didn't, but how many of you in the listening audience had these two teams being in the
There's nobody in the history of the world would ever.
That's a five seed versus a four seed.
Yeah.
You know? Gosh.
Now, to be fair, of those programs have been very successful recently, but you could argue that UConn has been kind of the was at the pinnacle of the sport,
right?
Kind of bottomed out and now has risen back up and is achieving at a level that they really should achieve at.
Right.
San Diego State has been really, really consistent.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in the tournament almost every year. They're really good in the Mountain West.
Right.
And they're a threat. I mean, this is as far as they've gotten, I think, ever.
Yeah.
But if you go back and you look at San Diego State over the last decade, their team, I mean, Kawhi Leonard,
yeah,
he's a San Diego State alum.
He's an Aztec.
Yeah, I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, you know, and a fun watch tonight.
Not only that, but our undefeated Texas Rangers are playing Baltimore.
How about
tonight.
That?
Yeah.
Yes, I've been kind of busy over the weekend. Wasn't able to catch much, but I watched the leadoff batter of Game 2, and took a first pitch and then sent, I don't know if the second one's landed yet. He hit that thing so hard.
Boy.
Anyway. Had an in-flight movie.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, so let's go to a break. We'll be back. We got a guest. We're going to talk a little high school baseball, I believe, when we come back.
All
so
right.
Let's take care of that, Yo-Yo.
Here we go.
Don't say honey, say Burleson's. Since 1907, Burleson's Honey in Waxahachie has supported our community while making life sweeter for all honey lovers. Made by bees, crafted by Burleson's. Burleson's Honey. For sweetness as big as Texas, remember, don't say honey, say Burleson's.
Equipment cluttering up your backyard? Jet skis taking up space in your driveway? Whether you need an extra closet or garage, Access Self-Storage has the space for you. Meet the friendly, helpful managers who live on site with state-of-the-art surveillance and electronic entry systems. In Red Oak at 561 East Ovilla Road and in Midlothian at 1630 North Highway 67. Committed to safety, security, and service. Access Self-Storage.
In November 2020, Methodist Midlothian Medical Center opened their doors to serve Ellis County residents. Today, the hospital is proud to offer comprehensive patient-focused care, including a full-service emergency department, advanced surgical options, labor and delivery, cardiology, and more. Located on Highway 287 in Midlothian, the team of healthcare professionals is excited about innovations and new patient services the future holds. Being there when and where our friends and neighbors need us, that's community, and that's why so many people trust Methodist. Visit us at methodistmidlothian.org to learn more or to find a physician.
Classic Texas, KBEC.
And now, back to the Press Box on KBEC.
All right, so we are back once again. Chad Hicks and Adam Olson here with the exquisite production of Mr. Yo-Yo Dave Van Zandt.
Yes, sir.
And
thank you for saying so.
Yeah, we always appreciate you there, Yo-Yo, pushing the buttons that we don't know which ones to push. It's just not in our we didn't have that training
in our wheelhouse.
It's not in your purview.
It's not. That's right. We are totally dependent upon you. So if you don't show up, we don't get to, we just sit here, right? Anyhow.
And look purdy.
We do.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's all we do anyway. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Do y'all turn the light off to get the glare down in there?
Hey, you don't have to be offensive about it.
I'm not being offensive. I'm asking a serious question.
All right, so I'm looking over here at our switchboard, and I see a light blinking. I hear the music. We have got a guest on our line, on our hotline, if you will, but Coach Jeremy Robertson. Coach, are you with us?
Yes, sir. Here I am.
Here you are. Well, thank you for joining us. We appreciate it. We got a little bit of finite details to kind of work out because it's my understanding that you sometimes go by Jeremy and sometimes you go by Matt. Is this correct?
Yeah. Growing up, I went by Matt, and so all my friends and family still call me Matt. But, professionally, I go by Jeremy. So everywhere I work, that's what I put in.
So okay, so
it depends on who you talk to.
All right, so being that this is very much professional.
Totally.
And I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing at us because there's nothing professional about us, I can promise you. So we're going to call you Jeremy. Is that acceptable? Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay, so now let's work on the last name because I see Robertson with no T, correct?
That's correct.
All right, and it is Robertson and not Roberson. Right?
That is also correct. Yep.
Okay, all right. We got to make sure we get this right for your 1099 and all that stuff, you know? I mean, the IRS wants...
So it's Robertson, but, I mean, everyone in their right mind who reads it always pronounces it Roberson.
Right.
And in every school I've been at, they've eventually just called me Roby.
Roby. So, I mean, okay.
Pretty much, hey, guy over there will work. But technically, if you want the correct answer, it's Robertson, yeah.
Okay, but we can... Are we allowed to call you Roby?
Sure.
Okay, so we've got two first names, a nickname, and an appropriate pronunciation of a last name. And we are covering some bases tonight.
Yeah, he wears many hats, both literally and figuratively. He wears many hats.
So Coach Roberson.
That's true. We actually just got new hats this year.
Oh,
so
you
I
did?
In fact, literally and figuratively, wear multiple hats.
Are they, tell us about them. What do they look like? I'm assuming they're blue.
Well, we had our last year. We had a all red hat with some black piping and all that. This year we got an all white hat with some red accents. Right. Pretty
Exactly. All right. I was trying to make a joke there, and it didn't quite land when I said I'm assuming they're blue because y'all's colors aren't blue, but nevertheless. Anyway, okay.
Yeah.
So it's really bad when you issue a joke and then you have to come back later and explain it. Yeah, thank you there, Yo-Yo. Appreciate that. All right, so Coach Roberson would be our baseball coach there for those mighty May Pearl Panthers. What's your tenure there? You're second year, is that correct,
at May Pearl? This is my second year at May Pearl, and this is my first year as a skipper.
How about that? All right. Are you enjoying the job so far?
Absolutely. Man, it's a dream come true.
Yeah, because you're a May Pearl graduate, is that correct?
I am. Yes, sir.
So let's talk a little bit about that. What kind of pressure do you feel with regard to that deal? Or, I mean, well, what is your age? Let's start with that. I mean, if you don't mind me asking, which I don't think you do.
So I'm 25.
25. So you graduated some 7 years ago, right?
Yes, sir.
You're 7 years removed from playing for the Mighty Panthers, and now you find yourself as the head baseball coach. And so now let me go back to that question. I mean, what is that like? What is that? I mean, do you feel that pressure?
I'm going to be honest. I feel like it's kind of the opposite. You know, I feel like it's more of a motivator. You know, it's really cool to come to schools and, you know, feel like the pride of that school and you know, want to win at that school. But it's not hard to come to May Pearl and want to win.
Right.
You know, like, they're my guys. This is where I'm from. And so it's almost like I was already putting myself under this pressure to come in and compete at everything we do. You know, we got a chess club. I want to go win at it. You know, so having the, you know, extra pressure of it being my hometown, I feel like it more turned into a motivator to, you know, really attack everything we do. So I don't know if it's been a detriment at all. It's been pretty good for me, I think.
Is it weird to walk down the hall and now you're a peer and a coworker to those that used to teach you seven years ago?
Yeah. So there's two or three teachers still at the high school that taught me. So, you know, it was pretty weird coming in that first day of freshman development and having a little bit of a staring contest with some people.
Yeah. Yeah, because Mr. Snodgrass is now Bob, or, I mean, I'm making up a name, obviously, but
sure,
you know, you're referring to them by their first names. You're in the teacher's lounge where they're smoking and stuff, and you're like, what? That used to be so weird to me to walk by the teacher's lounge and the door open and this big cloud of smoke just come out. But anyway, all right.
Yeah, I don't think that'll fly anymore. Counterproductive at this point.
Smoke-free environment, that's for sure.
Yeah.
All right, Coach Adam Olson here. So here we go. Let's talk. So season's been going well so far, and I know that you're chasing perfection, and you got a loaded senior class with some really good underclassmen. So let's try to zoom in on the last 2 weeks. So you guys had some big wins against West. Then you had a non-district game against Life Waxahachie.
Wait, they couldn't beat West. West was ranked like fifth in the state or something.
Yeah.
What?
And then they played Grandview last week. So can you recap the last 2 weeks for May Pearl baseball for us?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, going into the first game, you know, we had to work it out for us, honestly. You know, we have the pretty tough team starting off. You know, we got a tough district all around, you know, even down to Clifton and Keene. You know, we got tough opponents. But, you know, you're right. West had some really solid pitchers and really good teams. And, you know, everybody knows it. You know, there's no coming into the season showing up against a guy and thinking, oh, man, these guys are good, you know. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows West was solid, Grandview was solid, Whitney was solid, Clifton. You know, we all knew that everybody was solid. And so going into the game, you know, we had just kind of been spending our entire offseason with this understanding that, you know, as soon as we walk in the door, it's business. You know, there's no warm-up. There's no, you know, games that we get to play where, you know, it's automatic. You know, we got to show up and do work. So, you know, just kind of living in that mindset coming out against West, you know, they definitely put it on us. You know, like, we got out of there with two wins, which is awesome for us. But, you know, all matter of respect due to those guys, they were solid. You know, it was really just the fact that we came in with this competitive attitude of, you know, it didn't matter if it was one in the state or last in the state. Our goal was to put as many runs on the board and keep as many runs off. And, you know, we had two really good pitchers. I have a lefty sophomore who's kind of a thing, and then I got a senior senior lefty who's even more of a thing. So we put both of those guys up on Tuesday and Friday, and they just pitched their tail off, honestly. You know, they showed up and they did a lot of work. So I'd like to go into all these details about how I did all these things, but I didn't throw a single pitch and I didn't hit a single ball. So, you know, those guys really, you know, stuck it out there for us.
So, get them on the bus,
no game
man.
Is easy, but it was certainly nice to have pitchers keep the scores low and let us, you know, scratch across wins with, you know, out having to score 8 runs.
Hey, Coach, don't sell yourself short. You ordered up the new caps.
Yeah. Well, I let the seniors pick those too. So
oh, okay. Oh, there, oh, well, but still, somebody had to write the PO, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about some individual players. I mean, who are the standouts? Who do you really lean on as a coach for leadership, and who are the standouts for you? I mean, I know they're all standouts, and they all have their roles and their places and all of that, but every coach has some kids that they just have to utilize and lean on to motivate the others.
Yeah.
Who is that for you?
Well, and so, you know, Olson kind of hit on the fact that we have a pretty loaded senior class. You know, we have, I mean, half our team is seniors. And so one of the challenges that, you know, I kind of gave those guys at the beginning of the year was, you know, actually becoming leaders. You know, I kind of told our guys that if they strike out and then I walk up to them and said, man, we got to strike out less, and that's the only coaching I gave them, I'm a pretty bad coach.
Right.
You know, so if we have a situation where I needed a leader to stand up and I just yell out, we need to have more leadership, and I don't do anything else, again, it's the same concept. You know, we have to actually teach people how to be leaders in the same way that I got to teach people how to steal a base, how to hit a ball. You know, and so part of that has been just giving responsibility to the guys. You know, so I wouldn't say that I have an individual. I think it's my class. You know, I have a senior class. I have, you know, Cole Rager, Bailey Ray, and Tanner Terry, who are all just hard-nosed competitors who will, you know, hold guys accountable. I mean, I even got sophomores holding seniors accountable. You know, I have my catcher, Tyson Brooks, is always going to be the guy that's,
baller,
you know, speaking out when something isn't going right. But then I also got kind of my quiet leaders. You know, I got Nolan and Ty and Wyatt who are, I mean, just the guys who are coming back behind everything, making sure we're doing stuff right. You know, if we're walking off, you know, the wrong way, they're the guys that call everybody back and make sure we do the little things right so we can get the big stuff down the road.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, it's just, I would like to give you one guy, but I mean, it's every one of them for different situations. Well, you know, I got guys who will make sure that we ride the bus right. I got guys who make sure that, you know, when we're talking smack in the dugout and one of the younger classmen gets a little, you know, goes a little left on somebody and starts saying things that'll get us in trouble, I got seniors who will rein them back in. And then, you know, when it's hard-nosed times late in the game, tie ball game, and we got to get on base, I got guys who will, you know, either A, be the voice in the dugout to get everybody on base, or be the actual guys getting on base. You know, I've been so blessed with people who actually want to just compete. You know, everybody wants to win, but nobody wants to compete.
Right, exactly.
You know, everybody wants to win, go 16-2, you know, 15-1 type of win, but nobody wants to sit there and have a gut check for 7 innings on a 1-0 game. And I mean, those are the guys that I have. So, I don't think I have one guy. I got a senior class, man, and they are, all of them have their roles and they are all doing them very well.
Yeah. Or when you're down 4-1 and you still got a couple of innings to try to put it together, you know,
exactly.
I mean, as you were talking there and rattling off some names and all of that, all I could think about is I kept going back to a couple of years ago with the Frazier twins. Do you know them by chance? Were they there when y'all were there?
I mean, I know of them, but no, they didn't go.
I mean, one of them was the valedictorian of the – okay, but one of them was the valedictorian of his of the class. And, you know, they made great, you know, grades in the classroom and just great kids. And it sounds like that tradition is there and the culture is there, and we're just carrying this thing over from year to year to year. And that's phenomenal that you're able to keep that positivity going for sure. So who do you got this week? What are we doing this week, and how are we handling
this
Friday holiday?
Weird.
Yeah.
So we have Whitney the next two games.
All right.
But
it'll be the Whitney
the
Wildcats.
With, you know,
so it's cats against cats.
District track, and we got so many dual sport athletes, and it really in any program, not just baseball. Like, we got people playing every sport. So our district decided to take basically the weekend of Good Friday off. So we'll play Tuesday against Whitney, and then 7 days from Tuesday, so next Tuesday, we'll play Whitney again.
Oh, okay.
So we're taking this off. That way, you know, I got two of my guys, Aiden Votaw and Dustin Chotan, who both are – I mean, they're actually at the track meet today. you know, and I got a couple guys playing golf. You know, our golf team's doing really well.
Yep.
Last I checked, our A and B team were collectively first and second in golf. You know, and so we were wanting them to do really well, didn't want to have to make them choose between which sport they wanted to do. So we just decided to, you know, kind of cater to the kids in that way and say, hey, man, you know, we're going to have our practices still, but, you know, you go compete at your sport instead of having to pick and choose. So we got Whitney, you know, but it's Tuesday and Tuesday, not Tuesday, Friday.
I got you. Okay, so who will start for you tomorrow night?
That'll be Billy Teague, my sophomore lefty.
Sophomore, okay. So so then if he has a good outing, will you come back next week with the same with Billy again, or will you change that up?
No, sir. I'm going to flip it up. I'm going to give Tanner Terry the start, partly because I want him to pitch on senior night.
Okay.
You know, that's just kind of the flip that we have to do. But, you know, the other real strategy in baseball, you know, we're not in the position where we're trying to make playoffs. You know, like we're in the position where we're trying to make runs for playoffs, like runs deep.
Yeah.
And one of the big deals with that is developing multiple pitchers.
That's right.
You know, if we get first, second, third round, and we have a guy who's thrown 70 innings and he's a lights out pitcher, and then our next guy has thrown 12 innings and he's a decent pitcher, and then we have 5-4-1-1-1-1-1.
Yeah.
Well, all the opponent's got to do is get past our first pitcher, and then it's, you know, the series is up.
That's right.
You know, so even though, yeah, you know, Billy probably has this great outing, you know, I don't want to only pitch one guy and get somewhere in the playoffs where I'm relying on a guy that I have ill-prepared.
I get you.
It's not that the kid's not ready for it. It's that, you know, as a coaching staff, I haven't prepared that bullpen if, you know, whoever's number I call doesn't feel like they can get the job done. So
let's talk about the playoff picture a little bit. So where do you stand right now in your district?
Right now, we are tied with Grandview for first.
Okay.
So we split with Grandview, and we both won our first series with two wins. So we're sitting 3-1.
Okay. And so you're tied. Yeah, so you're in this thing. Then it's just a matter of – so if y'all end up with a tie, how does that work? Do you have a playoff game? You flip a coin? Or who determines first?
Home run derby by the head coach.
Yeah, home run. Exactly.
Home run derby by the head coaches. Right. And I know Robertson.
Yeah. We play dodgeball with baseball.
Let's go.
What do we do?
Yeah. Well, and so first and foremost, you know, we haven't clinched anything yet. So we still got to do, you know, still got to do our job and get wins. But assuming that, you know, we get what we want, we get some good wins in, then if the series was still tied, if our records were still one loss, then yes, we would have a play in.
Okay. So, oh, yeah.
There's
so
kind
you
kind of a dead week in between last district game and first playoff
and
series game.
You squeeze that one in.
Get a game, and kind of like basketball, do the same thing.
I got you. Okay. Cool deal. And then as you make your run into the playoffs, obviously it's going to determine whether, you know, if you finish in the first spot, second spot, or whatever. But you mentioned a second ago, you know, 2, 3, 4 games deep into the play, who do you see as the biggest obstacle in y'all's path as you go forward?
Man, the only thing I see is a bunch of victims.
Okay, I love that attitude.
I hate to be that guy, but
I absolutely love that attitude.
Get off the tracks when the train's coming through.
You know, able to play baseball, but if you know, if we start thinking, oh crap, we're in the third round, we're playing this guy, that guy, well. I mean, what are we doing?
Yeah.
You know, we make it to the playoffs. Our attitude's got to be that you're just the next guy in line.
Yeah. And how do you coach that? How do you relay that message to where you ensure that it hits home?
Well, I mean, it's kind of – there's macro and micro. You know, you can have the big speeches about that. You know, we're at, you know, gut check time in ball games where we're starting to get a little shaky, you know, talking about it, showing it up and calling it out. You know, when people are starting to feel a little bit, you know, shaken by who we're playing, just calling it out. You know, guys will respond when you tell them what they're doing. You know, if I tell a guy that he's way early, he'll start fixing his timing. If I tell us guys, I feel like we're shaking in our boots because we know who's up. Instead, let's just go out and play. You know, calling it out when you see it. But then there's kind of smaller details that I think go more along with, you know, how I coach baseball. You know, as a when we're calling pitches, for example. You know, there's obviously times where there's good batters, you know, where we got a guy at the plate who can get it done. Well, if we have the attitude that, man, I can't throw this guy a strike because he's going to take it to the fence, then you just guarantee that guy's going to rock your world.
Yeah, exactly.
Because you're going to sit there and dance around the strike zone, and then you're left with two options. You got two balls, no strikes, you know, three balls, one strike. Your two options are to either A, give him a couple of free pitches and walk him, you know, which you just put a guy on base for doing nothing. You know, I mean, I haven't swung a bat, and I can stand over there and take a walk, you know. So yep. There's that. But then the second option is I can lace this guy a fastball because, crap, man, I already got three balls on him. Might as well just give him a fastball, and then that's when you get taken to the fence.
Mm.
Versus starting off with this attitude that, man, I don't care, you know, who you are. I don't care if you're an MLB guy, D1 commit. I don't care if you're the 9-hole, 8-hole. You know, I don't care if this is the first time you've ever played. I'm going to sit there and throw you a challenge pitch that is either going to be a strike or I'm going to take you competitively. And then all of a sudden you get to see who people are. You know, is this guy a good hitter or did he just take pitches because he looks like a good hitter?
Right.
You know, and if he hits the ball, who cares? That's the game. You know, you pitch your best pitch, he hit the ball, move on. You know, they still got to hit the guy around.
That's right.
But instead of, crap, man, it's 3-1, I got to just throw this guy a fastball and, you know, hope he doesn't hit it. Instead, man, it's 0-0 and I'm going to sit here and dice you up. And if you prove me wrong, cool, you got to face me again later.
That's right.
So it's also that smaller attitude of just, man, I don't care who you are, what jersey you're wearing, or where you're hitting in the lineup. I'm going to throw my best at you. And if you don't throw your best at me, I'm taking you down.
Yeah.
Coach.
So I feel like that just spreads to everything else.
We love your mentality.
Oh, absolutely.
We love your gamesmanship. We love how you talked strategy through to us. And we could talk this for a while, but unfortunately, we are out of time here. On the press box.
It's time for supper.
Well, you know me being short-winded.
Yeah, Jeremy, Matt, Jeremy. So, hey, man, Coach, we appreciate having you on, and we will
Absolutely.
Have to get you back on once you guys are getting set for your playoff run and we get all these seedings and everything. But we wish you all the best tomorrow and next week against Whitney.
Appreciate it, boss.
Go let it rip.
Coach.
Good talking to you, Coach.
All righty.
Thank you.
Yes, have a good one.
Good, you bet. That was Coach Jeremy Roberson, a.k.a. Matt, a.k.a. Roby, a.k.a. J-Rob. He's got a lot of AKAs, but nevertheless, a.k.a. Coach
Hero.
Of the Maypearl Panthers. So good luck to them and his team and all
yes,
of that
sir.
Jazz. And that concludes another hour of the Great Press Box right here on KBEC. So on behalf of Adam Olson and Yo-Yo Dave Van Zandt, we greatly appreciate you tuning in. We'll be right back here next week, 6 p.m. Be here or be square or something. Be there or be square or something like that, Yo-Yo. Anyway,
something like
know.
That.
Peace
yeah.
out.
It's time to go home. Let's go get some supper and watch some watch some college basketball. We'll go from there. Tell them good night, Yo-Yo.
Good night, Yo-Yo.
Listening to the Press Box on Classic Texas KBEC 1390 AM 99.1 FM and online at KBEC.com. The Press Box is brought to you by Jerry's J&W Carpets in Midlothian. Drive a little and save a lot at Jerry's J&W Carpets. Tune in every Monday night at 6 p.m. for the Press Box. And for more information, go to sports.kbec.com.